Blog Talk Radio.
Pentagon Feather Merchants, the phony war against ISIS, the feminist train wreck in the military, liberal fools and the trouble with Hillary. This is the Ray Starman Show.
PM in Southern California, and this is Ray Starman, the host of the Ray Starman Show. We've got a extensive show tonight, talking on a number of different topics, starting off with the White House's recent order to the Pentagon to conduct operations with climate change as part of the whole program. I'll get into that in a moment after the station break. I'm also going to talk about the new gender-neutral military that we're forming and how it would perform should it have to take the field in battle. Also on the agenda is a preview of the New Hampshire primary. First voting is going to start in 4 hours in Dixville Notch, New Hampshire, and a recap of the GOP debate and all the colorful antics on Saturday night. We'll be right back after a word from Roslyn Capital and our buddy, William Devane.
Hi, I'm William Devane. And right now, there's a serious discussion about who our next president will be, a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent. The future of our country is hanging in the balance, which is why, as a good American, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to vote, and I'm going to buy gold from Roslyn Capital. Buying gold from Roslyn helps protect me against runaway inflation and all that paper money being printed around the world by unstable governments. Whether you want new or old gold or premium collector coins, Roslyn has them all. And what you order is what you get. No gimmicks, no nonsense, no hassle. So do your part to protect your future. Vote and buy gold from Roslyn Capital. What's in your safe?
Call now and get a free gold kit, a free silver kit, and a free IRA transfer kit. Call 800-630-8900, 800-630-8900, 800-630-8900.
We're back on the Ray Starman Show. You have to wonder how much gold and silver that William Devane is actually hoarding. And he's going to be the guy with all the money when the house of cards finally comes tumbling down like the walls of Jericho. It's coming, folks. It is coming. I can't say exactly when it's going to happen. I don't think anybody can say exactly when, but the financial house of cards is coming down. So do whatever you have to do to protect yourself, because it's going to be bad. It's going to be worse than 2008. You remember the end of Ghostbusters when it's just chaos and there's a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man walking down the street and everything. It could be that bad. It could be that bad. Unfortunately, Bill Murray's getting a little old. I don't know if he can help out right now like he did with Dan Aykroyd. All right. Before we get into the main topic, or the topic for the first half hour here on the Ray Starman Show, the great social experiment takes the field in the war of 2020. The news today coming out of the White House and the Pentagon, it's something crazier every day with Obama. The Washington Times reports the U.S. Armed Forces is being ordered to create climate change boards, councils, and working groups to bring the issue of climate change into its programs, plans, and policies. The newspaper cites a new directive instructing all military brass to incorporate climate change impacts into plans and operations. It says the directive mirrors President Barack Jimmy Carter Obama's ideology that global warming is a national security threat. Forget about ISIS. ISIS, don't worry about ISIS. The big worry is about the melting glaciers in South America, in the Andes. It's about rising sea levels in the Maldives. It's just, it's unbelievable It really is. This there was another story on Instapundit today about what I've been talking about for weeks now, how we won't blow up ISIS fuel tankers because the candy ass, that's the President of the United States, excuse my French, he refuses to hit the oil tankers because he's worried about environmental damage. You know, how are you going to beat ISIS if you're not going to stop their oil supply? You know, stopping, hitting command and control, logistic, trains, that's like military war 101. We're not going to beat ISIS under Obama. We're not even going to fight ISIS under Obama. We aren't fighting ISIS. We are doing nothing. And it goes on and on. I mean, I can't even imagine if Sanders is elected president. I just can't even imagine it. I'm going to play later. I love the cut of Waters going around interviewing some of these Sanders supporters. We'll get back to that in a second. The military, it seems, is being literally bombarded day by day by these extreme left-wing and feminist policies that are inviscerating it. You know, from Ray Mabus saying a couple weeks ago that all masculine terms in the Marines and Navy were going to be out. There's not going to be any more midshipmen, infantrymen, artillerymen. Everything is going to be gender neutral, like an infantry thing or a midship thing. My second year at the Naval Academy, I'm a midship thing. Hey, midshipette, will you come on over here for a second?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, better not say sir or ma'am. That definitely denotes if you're a male or female. It's just getting crazier every day. Let's take a look. Here's the scenario. It's 2020, the United States of America 2020. President Hillary Clinton has been in office since January. 2017. I know, it's everyone's worst nightmare. After defeating Donald J. Trump in the closest and most litigated election in American history, the vast social engineering in the U.S. that roughshod over the armed services under Barack Obama is legal policy now. Open homosexuality is common in all branches. Transgenders who have undergone sex change operations, those planning to, and those that seem to be confused about their sexual orientation, serve in the ranks as well. A last-minute fight by the Marines and Special Operations Forces in 2016 to stop women from serving in the combat arms, Special Operations, failed miserably. It is a done deal, but it is an integration that hasn't gone well. Females cannot handle the physical demands of the combat armed special operations. Under pressure from the Pentagon, standards have dropped drastically to accommodate women, but many issues still remain. See, that is the great farce of the whole thing. These boneheads, these idiot bureaucrats like Mabus and Carter, and even these imbecile generals and admirals that we have now, and they're all, most of them are just a bunch of moral cowards. I don't have the time of day for any of them. And, they're all saying, oh, well, you know, standards aren't going to be changed. There's nothing wrong. There's no problem. The standards will remain the same. Just like in the firefighters, just like in fire departments right now. When was the last time you drove past a fire and saw a woman out there humping a fire hose? There's a fire. There's an emergency. There's the truck. And there's a bunch of beefy-looking guys that look like they play for the Detroit Lions. Setting up, taking down, moving into action. The women that they have to put on the rolls so they don't get sued by some radical, crazy Gloria Steinem group, they're back in the firehouse making coffee or punching a keyboard on a computer. That's exactly what's going to happen in the military. Everybody knows that women can't handle these jobs, and they're going to just bend the standards, keep lowering them to get them in, even though they know they can't even do the jobs when they're lowered. And it's nothing against, this is not a mental issue. It's an upper body strength, physical body strength issue. So just a farce. And it's just, you know, the standards are going to keep getting lowered. And Martin Dempsey, who retired after he burnt down the Pentagon, basically, with John McHugh, he's like, well, maybe we need to lower some of these standards. Yeah, just keep lowering them. Keep lowering them. Combat units must meet quotas that call for each unit comprising no less than 35% women. That's another little dirty secret they're hiding from the American public, that as soon as all this craziness is made official on April 1st, 2016, April Fool's Day, which is actually the real date that's all going to become legal, that they're going to have quotas. So you'll have the Green Berets, and they're going to say, you got to have this Special Forces unit of 100 guys. It's got to have 35 women now because it's a quota. Because it's going to increase your combat power. Combat units must function with constant pregnancies. So that's another thing that gets swept under the rug. These pregnancies have been going on for 10 years, 15, 20 years. Woman gets pregnant, she's basically worthless. I mean, she can do paperwork and stuff, but as it goes on. Females breastfeeding in the field. You've heard me talk about that before with this new memo. They actually believe in this memo. Anybody who doesn't believe that this memo exists, send me an email, usdefensewatch@gmail.com, and I will send you a PDF of the memo talking about how their plan for women breastfeeding field, women having breastfeeding. Yes, they believe that women are going to now send their kids to them with them to a combat zone. The insanity knows no bounds. Lactation stations, diaper changing facilities, and nurseries will be commonplace in the field in the military of 2020. Males in units must routinely conduct physical training wearing pregnancy simulators. When I wrote this story last night, I sent it to freerepublic.com. It's a good conservative website. And a couple people said, hey, you know, Mr. Starman, I don't believe these pregnancy simulator things exist. I think that your imagination is a little worked up tonight. Well, guess what? There's an article on usdefensewatch.com called What Kind of Army Is This? Just search for that. And you'll find men wearing pregnancy simulators to sympathize with pregnant soldiers. Because that is a mission of the U.S. Army and Marines and Navy and Air Force. There are people who spend time sympathizing with pregnant soldiers. So they know what it's like to have to do PT, okay? Don't worry about fighting the enemy anymore. That's all passe. Don't worry about that stuff. I'll tell you. And also, several times a year in the U.S. military of 2020, male soldiers are required to wear red high heels to show their support for female rape victims. Don't believe that one? It's also in the article. What kind of army is this? This happened this summer at a few universities. Actually, it was last spring, where these ROTC guys were ordered to walk around in their army fatigues with red high heels to show sympathy for rape victims. Can you imagine Douglas MacArthur or George Patton walking around in red high heels? Let me let that one sink in for a moment. Sensitivity training classes on why the U.S. Constitution and Bible are racist and sexist are mandatory for promotion. Don't believe that one's true either? Just Google military classes, Constitution and Bible, sexist and racist. Tucker Carlson's Daily Caller had a big thing about it this summer. It's all real, folks, and it's only getting worse. And as it gets worse, the national security of this country is being endangered. Diversity officers are always present to monitor any breach of formality or conduct. Instead of being hated like the old Soviet political officers or Zompolites, the diversity officers are embraced as special heroes of the state by the new breed of officers in the ranks. I don't know how you survive on active duty in a rank above a lieutenant colonel or colonel you have to just be either the most demoralized son of a gun walking around, or you have to actually believe all this crap. Hopefully there's still some people in there that are good there. I think they're going to change something. Weapons have been altered to accommodate females in the combat arms. A two-caliber pistol. Hey, this is a true story that women, women were complaining about the 45, the kick on it, so they brought in the 9mm Beretta, but then the Special Forces complained that you can put 10 holes in a guy with a Beretta 9mm and won't stop him. The 45 was created right before World War I, and it was loved by the guys in the trenches because you get hit by a 45, you're going down. They used to call it pocket artillery. And then Of course, the artillery shells have been amended to only weigh 5 pounds now. What? Now that they have women in artillery, this is the kind of thing these morons in the Pentagon, these bureaucratic morons don't think of. These shells are heavy. They weigh 55, 65 pounds. You know, a lot of women can't pick up a 60-pound shell and just, you know, basically hump it over to another gun bunny so they can load the artillery piece. What are we going to do then? Once again, it's going to be like the fire department. The guys are humping or working the gun, and the woman is sitting there in the truck working on paperwork. But they consider her part of the field artillery. The insanity knows no bounds. Old school dinosaurs have been purged years ago. Remember, it's 2020. The officer corps is completely loyal to the new U.S. military, as diversity officers are assigned everywhere. Any calls for changes to the new order, any dissent, any show of traces of the old macho male U.S. military culture is enough to convene a court-martial or a UCMJ hearing. From 2016 to 2020, thousands more officers have been discharged and forcibly retired from the ranks. And by the way, I forgot to print it up, and I just have so much to talk about tonight. But Google Obama purging submarine fleet commanders. There was a story last week, at the end of last week, about how Obama has fired like 4 or 5 senior officers in charge of U.S. Nuclear subs. Just another purge. Obviously, you know, these guys aren't following the party line to destroy the military and the United States. And I agree with Marco Rubio that Obama is destroying this country and the military. All that remains in the military in 2020 are lackeys, masochists, and idealists who somehow think that they can reboot the military to the great day, golden days of the 80s, but they are wrong. The troops know. They always know. They know the darkest secret of all, that the U.S. military can't fight and beat anyone. You wonder if we can fight? Look what happened a few weeks ago with the Iranians. That says it all. That is a microcosm of our combat capability, our morale, and our fighting spirit. Against Captain Steubing in the Love Boat, and they kicked our ass. It is no longer the hollow force of the Obama days. It's an invisible force, for it no longer exists as a coherent, capable entity that can wage war. It is nothing more than a group of people in uniforms who pose for picture sticks to guidons and flags. The troops know that if they should be called upon to ever serve in combat, they are going to die in droves. But the moment they all feared is dawning on an early morning in the Middle East. And we will be right back on the Ray Starman Show. Falling apart, the U.S. military is cracking like a dam. The fissures are growing day to day in this great dam that is about to burst. And I have people that are on active duty, they're like, you know, I don't like anything you say. There's still the greatest military in the world. We've got a lot of technology. We've got GPSs. Yeah, so did the guys that were on the patrol boats. That didn't really help them, did it? Doesn't matter how much technology you have. If you don't have the will to put cold steel downrange, if you don't have a president who has the will to put cold steel on target, on ISIS, your military is worthless. And back to the Middle East. The Israelis have finally had enough of the Iranian lies and obfuscation. The Israelis have had enough of the Iranian nuclear deal and Hillary's further abandonment of one of the U.S. greatest allies. The Israelis know that Iran will have a nuclear bomb, perhaps dozens of them soon, if they don't act immediately. In a massive early morning attack, Israel hammers Iran with everything in its arsenal except nukes. The offensive is not designed to merely take out Iran's nuclear facilities, but to take out Iran. The Israelis surprise the Iranians, but soon realize they have gotten in over their heads. They have failed to destroy all the nuclear facilities, and Israel is under attack from Iranian missiles, Hezbollah forces in Lebanon, and Hamas in Gaza. President Hillary Clinton stabs Israel in the back further and states that the U.S. will remain neutral in the war. I could see her doing that. The Iranians view this as more U.S. weakness. And 2 days later, the aircraft carrier USS Truman is hit by a NOR missile. The vast fires that engulfed the Truman could have been extinguished except for one underlying fact. The large percentage of female sailors didn't have the upper body strength to carry the fire hoses and douse the blazes. The USS Truman and 3,500 sailors sink into the Gulf waters as the sun sets for the U.S. Navy. You think I'm making that one up about the fire hoses? I can tell you that for about the last 15 years at the Naval Boot Camp at Great Lakes, U.S. Navy Boot Camp at Great Lakes, 95% of the women that go through there that graduate fail the fire hose carry test, which is pick up a fire hose, run up a couple flights of stairs, and put out the fake fire. They can't run up the stairs with the fire hose because the hose is too heavy and they don't have the upper body strength. There's a lot of jobs that women can do in the Navy, maybe on shore. What happens if that scenario happens and we have a ship that in this new Navy has, let's just say it's 50% women. What if there's a section of the ship that is almost all women for some reason? They can't put out the fire. The carrier sinks. You've seen the footage of World War II, the color footage. Because in the Pacific, it was where all the color footage was for the most part. U.S. Navy, ships on fire at Midway in the Coral Sea and 1,001 under engagements. The 45 at the end of the war when they were getting hit by kamikazes. Those guys battling, putting out fires all day long. I remember one of my teachers when I was a kid, junior high, he was a naval officer on one of those ships that he was hit by a kamikaze. He was on a carrier. A lot of guys died. The U.S. Navy was in a heck of a lot better shape in World War II. The U.S. Navy has a lot of problems now. And that's a beat up on the Navy because the Army is in big trouble too. The Navy has just sort of been in the news. Okay, the Truman sinks. We just lost a carrier. The U.S. is now at war with Iran. We begin to conduct airstrikes, but the Air Force and the Naval Air have been gutted by Congress. And the attacks are mere pinpricks. Central Command launches Operation Pedicure, an operation designed not to demolish, not to destroy, but to snip gently at the enemy and then apply a thin layer of nation building once it's completed. And guess who is in command of Operation Pedicure? None other than Admiral Kirby. He's now a full admiral. You know, the guy's a spokesman at the State Department. He has a suit. He was the guy who was tap dancing through all the air campaign briefings from the Pentagon in his uniform. In gratitude for all the lies he's spoken about Hillary Clinton, server, and her emails, she promoted him to four-star admiral, and he is now chairman of the JCS. Three U.S. Marine brigades will land near Bushehr and drive inland as part of the plan. Even though this is a war, no one is authorized to open fire, and they're fired upon. Troops are ordered to be sensitive to environmental and collateral damage as well. In fact, a brigade avenue of approach is changed to protect the East Persian snapping turtle. You think that's a bunch of garbage too. Obama, he won't hit the fuel tankers. He's worried about environmental damage. There was another thing where they were worried about some bird that they were going to kill. Are we at war with that? Obviously, we're not. I mean, they have to be laughing to death. I would, if I was in ISIS, I'd be laughing all day long. They know we have the capabilities. We just don't have the will anymore. We don't have the right people in the leadership. I heard Trump on TV tonight. He was talking to Sean Hannity, and he said if he gets elected, he's going to S-can all these admirals and generals because they're all worthless. Worthless. They are a bunch of worthless moral cowards who are selling out the United States military so they can get another star or a PX parking space for their wife or maybe get a few more grand a year in retirement benefits or suck their way into some defense contractor job. It's just a disgrace. This is not the Marine Corps of Wei, Kafchi, Tarawa. Morale is horrible. And morale in the U.S. military is horrible now. As is typical in co-ed units, there's no bonding. This is not the Band of Brothers, but a high school class filled with every cliched clique, the jocks, the geeks, the sluts, the cheerleader types, the hipsters. They're a group. They're not a military unit. They're about to meet the enemy, and they are about to be slaughtered. The 1st Brigade is led by Colonel Belinda Hardsquabble, a transgender formerly named Bruce Harris. Hardsquabble is known as Real Hard Charger. She often appears in the field in both a montage of male and female uniforms. And she also utilizes the male latrine on some days and the female latrine on other days because she's confused about her orientation. But this is acceptable now. You don't think that is going to destroy morale and our fighting spirit? She believes that her infantry things, remember, infantryman is a banned term, punishable by UCMJ, are the best in the Marine Corps. The landing is to be coordinated with the capture of the guns overlooking the Persian Gulf on top of a 225-foot cliff. U.S. Army 75th Ranger Regiment, now 75% female, and a showcase in the new military, is ordered to scale the 225 cliff, kill the Iranian troops guarding it, and seize the guns. The Rangers would be carrying 60 to 70 pounds worth of equipment. Several miles away, the famous U.S. Navy SEALs are to land and blow up a radar station on the peninsula. The destruction of the radar site could easily be done by the Air Force, but the Pentagon wants female heroes, and 2-4 women SEAL teams have been dispatched for the mission. Operation Pedicure commences at 0300 hours as the two SEAL teams make their way to shore in rubber boats. Strangely, the boats are defective, and they say the women have to swim 4 miles to shore. One drowns on the way in. The others are forced to shed all their equipment and all their weapons. The weight is simply too much for them. The 7 female SEALs finally land on the beach. Instead of continuing the mission, they stop for 10 minutes to relax. They are spotted by an Iranian sentry, opens fire, kills 5 of them. The other 2 move towards their objective. They are only armed with K-bar knives, but still carry the explosives. They manage to surprise the 2 sleepy guards, try to battle them in hand-to-hand combat, and are instantly killed. At dawn, the Marines and Rangers land. The primarily female ranger force simply doesn't have the upper body strength to scale the cliffs. Remember the rangers at Pointe-au-Hoc on D-Day? Picture female rangers doing that. And I'm not taking away from women doing dangerous things in the military. There are dangerous things that they can do. There are a lot of women who served in extremely dangerous jobs and missions in the OSS, the predecessor to the CIA, and the SOE. British Special Operations Executive, saboteurs, assassins, rendezvousing with resistance leaders, parachuting. I mean, I can't think of a job that requires more guts than a parachute into Nazi-held Europe with a mission. And there were a lot of women that did it and died. But women just simply do not have the upper body strength to conduct a lot of ranger missions. Take the person and put them in a job that they're qualified for. Don't create a bunch of nonsense. Most of the women give up and descend back down to the beach. They can't make it up the cliff. The male rangers keep going, the small amount of male rangers, but they're forced to retreat. Some of them do make it up the cliff, and they're quickly killed or captured by the Iranians. Several miles away, the Marine Expeditionary Force is running into problems as well. The co-ed forces don't function as a team. And lack the killer instinct the Marines are known for. Colonel Hardsquabble's brigade makes no progress. The Marines are unmotivated, and the men are trying to shield the women from danger. high school behavior in the unit has severely damaged the fighting spirit and efficiency of the Marine Expeditionary Force. When I come back on the Ray Starman Show, I'm going to tell you how this all pans out.
Look at this, $18 trillion in debt, and by tomorrow, it will have risen another $500 million. Now, if that doesn't concern you, it should. How do you get more control over your investments and retirement with debt like this racking up against you? Buy gold and silver from Roslyn Capital. Gold and silver are the only currencies that make me feel secure, something that paper money can't do. Roslyn will beat any price of any coin at any time. Just call them. And Roslyn ships my gold and silver faster than anyone else. So if you're concerned by this, protect yourself with this. Buy gold and silver from Roslyn Capital. What's in your safe?
Call now and get a free gold kit, a free silver kit, and a free IRA transfer kit. Call 800-630-8900. 800-630-8900. 800-630-8900.
We're back on the Ray Starman Show. It's 8:30. We've got about a half an hour left. Finish up talking about the great social experiment takes the field in the 2020 New Hampshire primary, and a recap of the GOP debate coming up in the last half of the Ray Starman Show. We talked about the Marine Expeditionary Force landing. Remember, these are not the Marines of Khe Sanh and Iwo Jima, Kafji. The landing is barely a foothold. The next day, the Iranians counterattack, drive the Marines back into the sea. It is a debacle that will be compared to Kasserine Pass and the first Bull Run. The Iranians capture nearly all three brigades and their equipment. Thousands of Americans that aren't killed find themselves prisoners of the Iranians. On a bluff along the beach, in a mocking tribute to the Marines' famous moment at Iwo Jima, the Iranians step on the bodies of dead male and female Marines as they plant the Iranian flag. The picture is broadcast worldwide. It becomes a symbol of America's demise and the lies surrounding women in combat. You don't think this can happen? Look what happened 3 weeks ago. We just gave up. I don't care what anybody told me. If you think I was going to surrender to the Iranians, they could have court-martialed me and put me in Leavenworth for 1,000 years, but I'm not surrendering while I still have the means to resist. But that's the kind of military we have now. And Americans begin to wonder if their military has been built on a house of lies and deception. Americans wonder if the assurances that women are just as strong as men and capable of meeting the same standards as men are just outright fabrications. Americans believe that they've been had by civilian and military leaders. Americans now have a military that was thoroughly gutted, allowed to be destroyed by cowardly generals who cared more about their retirement benefits than the national defense. Americans now know that the idea of gender neutrality is a fantasy tantamount to the tooth fairy. The enemies of America, far and wide, see the defeat and destruction of the U.S. Army Rangers, Navy SEALs, and Marines in the field of battle as a supreme opportunity to launch terrorist attacks on American and U.S. American installations worldwide. ISIS sleeper cells go into action across the nation. In the Middle East, Israel ceases military operations against Iran. The U.S. military is forced to the peace table, where they sign an agreement to leave the Persian Gulf and pay the Iranians billions for the release of the U.S. Marine Corps Expeditionary Force. The great social experiment has just fought its first war. As Hillary Clinton speaks to the nation, the bodies of thousands of dead Americans are flown back to the United States. As Hillary Clinton speaks to the nation, our enemies know that the United States is no longer capable of winning wars. Our enemies know. Our enemies know now what's going on. It is a debacle, a disaster waiting to happen. And I'll be right back on the Ray Starman Show after this quick message from the National Rifle Association.
I'm a mom, and just like millions of other women, that's why I own guns. We're responsible, we're law-abiding, and we're everything that makes America strong. Every day, we're willing to use a firearm to defend our families. But the media will never tell those stories. If a mom puts a gun to the face of a home-invading thug and makes him run for his life, the story gets buried. But if she's unarmed and murdered, the cameras will be at the scene before the police. It's time for moms like me to speak out. We are the majority. We demand the freedom to defend our families. And we challenge the media to tell the truth about our rights. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
And we're back on the Ray Starman Show. Let's talk about the segue over from the depressing news of the great social experiment losing to Iran in the war of 2020 to the New Hampshire primary, where hopefully a better tomorrow. The wheels are grinding for a better tomorrow. Let's take a look at the Republican side here. Nationally, as of today, according to Real Clear Politics, Mr. Trump is at 29.5%. Mr. Cruz is 21%. Rubio, 17.8%. Dr. Ben Carson, 7.8%. Bush, 4.3%. And I imagine Carly Fiorina is below. I don't know why she wasn't included in the debate. Obviously, the mainstream media doesn't want to portray any woman as a challenger to her. Because let me tell you something. If Carly Fiorina was actually the nominee and debated Hillary Clinton, she would destroy her. Destroy her. They would be pushing Hillary's flaming carcass off the stage like a bulldozer moving a junked vehicle off the highway. But they don't want you to do that. They want it. Hillary is the person. How about this garbage with Madeleine Albright talking yesterday about, I know she was another boob as Secretary of State. Not because she's a woman, just because she's a boob. Carly Fiorina is thoroughly qualified to be the president. Talking about how if you didn't vote for Albright, if you didn't vote for Hillary, there's a special place in hell for you. Or maybe there's a special place in hell for Hillary. All right, let's take a look nationally at the Democrats. I love this. Now, Real Clear Politics is way off on this one, although the Clinton and Sanders are dead even. Real Clear Politics have them 7 points apart. They need to update that because they are dead even nationwide. Dead even. That's why Bill Clinton is in this panic mode. You see Bill Clinton today is running around New Hampshire in this red and black lumberjack outfit. He looks like the poor man's Paul Bunyan. He looks like Paul Bunyan with AIDS. It is Bill Clinton. God knows what he did in his prior life there before the presidency and during the presidency. All right, let's talk about New Hampshire. Trump, 30.7%. Rubio, 14.4%. Kasich, 13%. Mr. Cruz, 12.4%. Mr. Bush, 11.3%. Mr. Christie, below that. Dr. Carson and Carly Fiorina about tied there. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Trump will win New Hampshire. I'm predicting, you heard it here first on the Ray Starman Show, that John Kasich is going to come in second in New Hampshire. Third, Jeb Bush, but almost close to Kasich. Second and third will be so close, it's going to be very close. Fourth is going to be Rubio. I don't think New Hampshire people are buying Christie. He's, like I said before, he is a geographic regional candidate of New Jersey. He fits that profile, and I don't think they like him up there. I just don't think they like him up there. Trump, 1. Kasich, 2. Bush, 3. Rubio, 4. I should say 5. There could be a battle for 4 and 5, for 4th place, obviously, between Cruz and Rubio. And then 5th, you have Christie, and then Carson Fiorina. Or, you know, some people think Fiorina is going to come up. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see her. Dude, I think she's got a lot of potential. Of course, ABC News doesn't think so because they don't want anybody competing against Hillary because she is the anointed one. It's so outrageous how biased CNN and MSNBC are. At the last Democrat debate, Rachel Maddow, who really is Chris Hayes, and Chris Hayes is actually Rachel Maddow. They're indistinguishable. They're also interchangeable, I think. They could be the same person, minus the glasses. Rachel Maddow, after the debate, and went over and hugged Bernie and Hillary. You know? Imagine like Walter Cronkite hugging Nixon after a debate with Jack Kennedy. You know? Come on over here and give me a big hug. I mean, it's just... It's just so outrageous how tainted they are. Of course, Fox News is tainted to the right, but Fox News was created to combat the left-wing media. And they're doing a successful job at it, too. So I am predicting Trump's going to do well. I think he's going to take New Hampshire, and I think he's going to take South Carolina. I really do. Let's take a look at the South Carolina polls here for a second. Trump, 36%. Cruz at 19.7. He'll do well in South Carolina. Cruz probably will be number 2 in South Carolina. Kasich, or Rubio's 12.7. Bush, 10%. Carson, 8.7. Kasich wouldn't be a bad vice presidential pick because he is from Ohio, governor of Ohio. He is from Pennsylvania. He could deliver some swing states, Michigan, Ohio, you know, the Rust Belt, Pennsylvania, maybe in New England, some of the, you know, lower New England. It'd be interesting. He's a competent guy. He's just a little strange. And we'll be right back on the Ray Starman Show. We're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to finish the show with the final segment on being the GOP debate. And remember, we're at the 3 hours in, 17 minutes away from the New Hampshire primary beginning in Dixville Notch. We'll be right back on the Ray Starman Show. Voting for Bernie Sanders or Hillary. I mean, because Hillary would want to take away Bond's gun. Well, no, actually not, because he's a government authority. And only the Democrats, only the government authorities can carry guns. Sanders is actually more pro-gun than Hillary, if you can believe that. He's actually got a better record with the NRA than Hillary. I mean, Hillary gets in. She's going to try to take the guns. And she's up there with Obama. You know, Obama had 4 more years in office. God knows the stuff. This country cannot survive, could not survive a third Obama term. It could not survive a Hillary term or Bernie Sanders term. It's unbelievable how much these millennials love this guy. You know, he's promising them everything. Free tuition, free this, free that. How many of these iPhone-clutching fools even know what socialism is like? How many have ever been to a socialist country? How many of them have ever been to a communist country? Bernie's been to communist countries. He's been to a few of them. He went on his honeymoon to the Soviet Union. Not Russia, the Soviet Union. USSR. Bernie was back in the USSR. In fact, I just got an idea for some new Bernie Sanders lead-in music for my next show. Back in the USS. Back in the USSR, Bernie. Then he went over to Cuba, told them how great everything was there. You know, we needed a Cuban health system. We needed to study the Cuban economic system because, you know, things were so good. People were driving around in 1945 Chevys there under Fidel. This is, of course, in 1990. Then Bernie went over to, in the 80s, he was over there in Nicaragua hanging out with Daniel Ortega while the Reagan administration was trying to destroy the Ortega government in Nicaragua, which was a communist government fully supported by the Soviet Union and great guys that were running the Soviet Union like Yuri Andropov, former head of the KGB. You know, one of Putin's buddies. It just goes on and on. And yet these millennials, they love him. He has got the millennial vote. They love him because they don't even know what a socialist is. They do not know what a socialist is. They just don't. I'm going to play a couple more. I'm going to play a minute of Waters interviewing some of these Sanders supporters again.
Bernie Sanders says he is a democratic socialist. Do you know what that means?
Bernie Sanders probably has my vote.
My personal choice about why I'm voting for Bernie Sanders is because I believe that he represents me.
You look like a Sanders supporter.
Yeah.
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, like
is Bernie your type?
No.
A politician?
I see. We're getting acquainted.
Instead of having a body of government who dictates what everybody else is doing, it gives kind of the power back to the people.
That's the opposite of socialism.
Is it really?
You're putting me on.
So you want to make the rich less rich?
Sure, yeah. Equality?
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Has a poor person ever offered you a job?
They have not.
This is where I live, little man.
Do you think socialism works?
I think socialism very well could work for us.
How does raising taxes...
Oh, my God. I swear to God, there's a communist around under every rock. I mean, where are these people? They're coming out of the woodwork for this guy. It just shows you how weak of a candidate Hillary is. She is a weak candidate. All right. You know, the guy, Sanders, is going to take New Hampshire. He's going to destroy Hillary. I do root for Sanders in the sense that I like when he is beating Hillary. Of course, I wouldn't vote for Sanders because he is a communist, or at least a borderline communist. All right, let's recap the GOP debate here in the last 10 minutes on the Ray Starman show. You know, it was really interesting, but it was a little bit boring after a while. You know, these three-hour debates, after the second hour, you know, I was channel surfing. I think I tuned into MeTV and I was watching an old episode of Barnaby Jones. Then I fell asleep and had a dream I was in a genie bottle with Mary Catherine Hamm. You know? And she left in a puff of smoke. I woke up and then the debate's going on. Kasich, well, I'll just do a recap of everybody. Kasich was typically his typical spastic self, combination of a Mexican jumping bean and a frog caught in a blender. Talking about Medicaid in Cleveland, Medicaid in Ohio, how he did such a great job as governor of Ohio. He's a competent guy, but he's a little strange. Jeb was on fire, as much as Jeb can be on fire. He looked like he had stormed out of the golf club with his 9-iron after his mother had made him watch two day's worth of old Firing Line episodes with William F. Buckley. Remember what? You remember Firing Line with William F. Buckley? He was great. He's great. I've got to have to watch you catch one of those in a sec after this show. I think I might watch Firing Line. And Jeb was on fire. You know, he battled Trumpster on eminent domain, and he said we needed more millionaires, which is great. Of course, Sanders supporters don't want any millionaires because we want to distribute the wealth, because distributing wealth has worked so well in the past, like in the Soviet Union. Any wish to Ronald Reagan a happy 105th birthday? Happy birthday, Jeb. Rubio is really the one everybody was talking about. He literally got body slammed by Tony Soprano. I mean, Chris Christie. In the opening round, he was literally smoldering at his podium like a steaming platter of fajitas that the waitress has just brought to your table at Applebee's. I don't know about you, but Rubio, he could come across as a possible contender, even with his age, a little bit of inexperience, if he didn't look like he was 10 years old. Hi, I'm Marco Rubio, and I'm running for president. He looks like that. He looks like, who's the kid? It was the Munsters kid. He was like 12 or something, 13. Looks like that kid. Or is that Paul Ryan? Eddie Munster. That's Paul Ryan. Rubio just looks like a 12-year-old soccer player selling magazine subscriptions. And you know, after, you know, Christie beat the crap out of him for repeating the same thing that Obama's destroying America. Obama is destroying America. But he kept repeating the same mantra over and over again. Christie is like, Chris Christie, I was in charge of snowplows in New Jersey. Well, maybe, you know, Rubio should have come back and said, well, maybe that was a permanent good job for you. You can be snow day snowplow commander, governor. You can ride in the lead snowplow in Newark as you're plowing the Jersey streets. But meanwhile, me, Marco Rubio, I'm going to be the president of the United States. All right. We're moving on to Mr. Trump. Trump was good, classic, competent, confident, fared well. Told Jeb to shut up, told Jeb supporters to shut up. I mean, the guy's the best. And he said we need to torture ISIS suspects, probably with a New York Fire Department fire hose. You know, the fire hose that the women in the Navy can't carry. He ended the night by hammering Cruz about stealing votes from Ben Carson. Count Chocula, Cruz is always good. He's competent. He once again reiterated the fact that he wanted to bomb ISIS to the gates of HE double hockey sticks, carpet bomb them. He apologized profusely to Carson for basically destroying his chances of going anywhere in Iowa and ruining Trump's victory in Iowa. Carson basically took the apology as a week late, a Canadian dollar short. And then we're back to Christie. Christie, like I said, he looked like, when he was going after Ruby, he looked like a guy working for Tony Soprano. He's a guy in a parking lot because he hasn't paid the vague on a $5,000 loan to Tony when Tony gave him $5,000 of cash in the basement of the Bada Bing. On the other hand, he was just in a bad mood because he had a bad sausage and pepper sandwich. I don't know. We'll move over to Carson. Carson was cool. He's always cool. He's just cool. He's cool like a frosted glass of Dos Equis on ice. Doesn't he always look like he puffs a couple joints backstage before he's on stage? Maybe he's in the green room doing a bong while Cruz was on his knees begging for apologizing and begging for his forgiveness. Carson was great speaking about health care, because that's obviously his most knowledgeable subject. And he also talked about, most importantly, how we need honest politicians, not liars at the helm like Hillary Clinton, a professional liar. A professional criminal. Ma Barker Clinton for president, 2016. You got to check out the videos of Bill Clinton. Just Google Bill Clinton lumberjack shirt campaigning. It's classic. I don't know where somebody must have gone to L.L. Bean and, you know, put it on him. At the end of the day, though, and tomorrow's going to be an important day with the New Hampshire primary. Like I said, Sanders is going to win, which will I just love watching Hillary accept that. Was she going to declare victory again? I'm 20 points behind, but I'm going to declare victory. But, you know, it's important that Trump wins. It's important that he moves down to South Carolina and wins. And then Super Tuesday is coming up on March 1st. We have to have Republican victory. This country cannot sustain another 4 years, another 4 or 8 years of one of these Democratic liberal fools running this country into the ground. People have had it. Obama is a nightmare. He is a nightmare for this country. Obama and the Democrats are ruining the military. They've done nothing for the economy. Do you really think that the unemployment rate in the United States is 4.9%? Are you kidding me? And these jobs that they created, what? And then somebody, a shopping cart at Walmart? That's a job? It is a disaster. The real unemployment rate in this country, it's got to be 15 to 20. It has to be. And we'll see you on Wednesday night on the Ray Starman Show at 8 p.m. Pacific. And have a good evening. And remember that the New Hampshire primary is going to kick off. Actually, it's going to kick off at midnight New Hampshire time, which is 3 minutes from now in the Pacific out here. We'll see you on Wednesday. Have a good evening. This is Ray Starman from Los Angeles. Good night.